Are you looking to step up to a 4K smart TV? One that gives you unparalleled clarity and picture resolution? Then we've got good news for you, because the Vizio 65-inch V-Series 4K smart TV is now just $348. With all your favorite apps built in, you can stream straight out of the box. You can even sing along to all your favorite music and radio on the iHeartRadio app. Looking for a smaller or bigger screen? Vizio offers unbeatable prices on all V-Series 4K smart TVs. Head to Walmart.com today and score the 4K TV you've been waiting for.
From football playoffs to basketball madness, TCL Roku TVs are the best way to stream your favorite live sports. With all the biggest sports channels, a sports zone with all available games in one place, and apps like iHeartRadio with sports podcasts such as The Herd with Colin Cowherd, cheering on your favorite team has never been easier. A big screen TCL Roku TV offers premium picture and sound quality, so you'll feel like you're right in the action. Find the perfect TCL Roku TV for you today at go.tcl.com/TCL Roku TV.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside.
Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs starting on March 13th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Our American Stories, and being that it's that time of the year, St. Patrick's Day, we figured we'd give you the story behind the story, which is what we love to do here on Our American Stories. Here's Greg Hengler with the story of St. Patrick.
R.P.C. Hansen wrote in his book about St. Patrick that the tragedy with all the myths and legends, such as Patrick driving all the snakes out of Ireland, his association with using shamrock to explain the Trinity, and the preconception that he's Irish, is that these actually hide the truth. What we are about to do is get rid of the myths and the legends and go to the primary source, the words of Patrick himself. In fact, his 5th century writings and letters, known as the Confession, are one of the earliest surviving documents in Irish history. Here's Dr. Tim Campbell, director of the St. Patrick Center in Downpatrick, Ireland.
Ego Patricius peccator russicismus, I Patrick a sinner, least faithful of many. Those are the words that begin the history of Ireland.
Patrick was born into a well-off family and lived in a country estate on the western coast of what was Roman-occupied Britain in the very last days of the Roman Empire. As Roman legions abandoned Britain in order to protect themselves in other regions of the Roman Empire, order and authority fell into disarray, and Britain's west coast became vulnerable to frequent plundering by Irish slave raiders. Patrick was a teenager living a very comfortable life as the son of a government official and church cleric, though he himself had very little interest in anything pertaining to his father's faith. One day, Irish raiders captured the 16-year-old Patrick along with several thousand men, women, and children from the surrounding countryside, packed them tightly into holds of waiting ships, and took them to Ireland, a wild and savage place beyond the Roman reach. Patrick was sold as a slave and was made a shepherd for a very harsh master. Patrick hated the Irish, and this hatred fueled his will to live. He vowed one day to repay them for their cruelty. Here's Dr. Campbell. Elva Johnston, professor of history at University College Dublin, Patrick's biographer, Thomas O'Loughlin, and father, Billy Swan.
Celtic people did not work with slaves the same way that the Romans did. They treated their slaves pretty badly, like cattle, and would have worked you until you died.
Particularly as a non-Irish slave, he would have been at an even greater disadvantage because he wouldn't have been recognised almost as a person. Presumably it is a sort of meant to be slavery for life.
He begins to conclude that this has happened because I deserve it, basically, and this happened to shake me out of my complacency and to shake me out of a way of life I was living in which God didn't matter for me.
Here are the words of Patrick.
I tended sheep every day, and I prayed frequently during the day. And more the love of God and the fear of Him grew in me. And my faith was increased and my spirit was quickened, so that in a day I prayed up to 100 times, and almost as many in the night. Indeed, I even remained in the wood and on the mountain to pray. And come hail, rain, or snow, I was up before dawn to pray. The spirit was fervent in me.
Something new is happening, something that hadn't happened before. That personal relationship, that dimension of a personal relationship with God.
Patrick's bitterness and loneliness began to melt away as he came to realize God was with him. He tried to recall sermons from church and stories from the Bible. He chided himself for his boyhood lack of interest in God. Although Patrick knew of Jesus Christ, he never cared. But now, as a slave in a strange, green, distant land, the little he had learned as a boy came flooding back to him. He didn't have a Bible, but he could pray. And as his love for God grew, his hatred for the Irish died. Patrick was held as a slave for 6 years as he continued to pray every day. Here's the words of Patrick and Patrick's biographer, Thomas O'Loughlin.
It was there, indeed, that one night I heard a voice.
Patrick, well have you fasted. Very soon you are to travel to your homeland. Behold, your ship is prepared.
I took flight, leaving the man I had been bound to for 6 years. But the ship was not nearby, but maybe 200 miles away, where I had never been, and where I knew nobody.
The biggest danger is someone says, you're a slave. I'll find out where you come from, and I'll take you back, and I'll claim a reward.
It took him days to walk 200 miles before reaching the seaport, and there, right before him, was a ship getting ready to depart. But the captain, seeing he was a slave, refused to give him passage. Patrick turned to leave, and as he did, he prayed for guidance. Before he ended his prayer, one of the sailors in the back of the ship said, "Come, hurry, we shall take you on." Patrick was then asked to pledge himself to the crew through a Celtic tradition that included sucking on their chests.
These days we would shake hands, and in those days that was a way of bonding with each other to show that you would be loyal to them. He didn't want to do that because he was Christian.
The sailors gave him a pass and led him on board the ship. They traveled for 3 days before landing on an unknown desolate port. They traveled on foot for 28 days searching for food as the haggard, half-starved men grew weak. The captain fixed his fiery eyes on Patrick and said, "Tell me, Christian, you say that your God is great and all-powerful. Why then do you not pray for us? We are suffering from hunger. It is unlikely that we shall ever see a human being again." Patrick smiled. "Be truly converted with all your heart to the Lord my God, because nothing is impossible for Him." When the men turned around, a herd of pigs crossed the path in front of them. They would feast on ham for days. Patrick writes that after this, they thanked God mightily, and he became honorable in their eyes. But just days after this miracle, Patrick was once again taken captive and made a slave. On the very first night he was with his captors, he received a divine message telling him he would remain with them for 2 months. This is exactly what happened. Patrick wrote, "The Lord freed me from their hands." 2 years passed before Patrick finally made it home to his family in Britain.
The Patrick that returned was a very different person from the one who left. He was someone who had encountered God in the darkest part of his day, and who had, as a result of encountering God in a real and living way, become much more comfortable with the idea that God was active and alive and to be taken seriously.
Then one night, a voice returned to him.
I saw in the night the vision of a man whose name was Victor, coming as it were from Ireland with countless letters. And he gave me one of them, and I read the opening words of the letter, which were,
"The voice of the Irish."
And they cried out as with one voice,
"We ask you, holy boy, come and walk among us once again."
And you've been listening to the story of St. Patrick. And of course, obviously, we're telling this story because so many Irish Americans call this country home. When we continue, more of St. Patrick's story here on Our American Stories.
Are you looking to step up to a 4K smart TV? One that gives you unparalleled clarity and picture resolution? Then we've got good news for you, because the Vizio 65-inch V-Series 4K smart TV is now just $348. With all your favorite apps built in, you can stream straight out of the box. You can even sing along to all your favorite music and radio on the iHeartRadio app. Looking for a smaller or bigger screen? Vizio offers unbeatable prices on all V-Series 4K smart TVs. Head to Walmart.com today and score the 4K TV you've been waiting for.
From football playoffs to basketball madness, TCL Roku TVs are the best way to stream your favorite live sports. With all the biggest sports channels, a sports zone with all available games in one place, and apps like iHeartRadio with sports podcasts such as The Herd with Colin Cowherd, cheering on your favorite team has never been easier. A big screen TCL Roku TV offers premium picture and sound quality, so you'll feel like you're right in the action. Find the perfect TCL Roku TV for you today at go.tcl.com/TCL Roku TV.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside.
Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs starting on March 13th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we continue with Our American Stories and the story of St. Patrick. Let's return to Greg Hengler and the rest of this remarkable story.
After several years in the monasteries of France, Patrick was ordained a bishop. Patrick told his church, family, and friends he would be returning to Ireland, and they were shocked. "Don't you know what they do with slaves who run away? Surely God would not require this from one who has suffered so much already. Settle down here in peace." The church leaders argued he was wasting his time. "Those brutal barbarians have no interest in God." Patrick told them, "God snatched me from my homeland and parents so that I might know and love him. It is in Ireland that I wish to serve until I die, if the Lord would grant it to me." So Patrick, who was still a fugitive in Ireland, set his feet to walk and heart to share the gospel message to the Irish everywhere, beginning in the year 432. The pre-Christian Druids were a powerful force in 5th century Ireland. These Celtic religious leaders were part of a pagan priesthood and would be rivals to Patrick's ministry. The Druids hated him for leading people away from their idols. They robbed, beat, imprisoned, and tortured him. He was enslaved a third time. 12 times his enemies nearly killed him, but always the Lord rescued him.
He sells his nobility, which I take to be a reference to him selling essentially his inheritance. It's almost like a form of seed funding, which will enable him to get to Ireland. I imagine that Patrick's parents had fully expected him to take on the role as maybe the heir of the family.
He would have been opting out of any responsibility for running estates, etc.
Here's Patrick, Alan Harper, Chris Seaton, co-author of New Celts, and Father Neil Carlin.
It was not my grace, but God, who conquered in me and who resisted them all, that I might come to the Irish nations to preach the gospel.
In terms of the challenge of it, it was just awesome. He didn't know what he faced, possible death and persecution, more slavery, imprisonment.
He established his great stone church on the hilltop. The site is strategically located on one of the main transportation routes in inland Ireland. That makes this an extremely significant and important place from which to conduct your mission. And you're conducting your mission in territory which has not been exposed to Christianity before.
Patrick's approach seemed to be very much about confronting the spirituality of paganism, but not condemning the culture in which it bred.
He used what was sacred to the people, but gave it a new context, a fuller, richer context, which they were able both to accommodate within their own understanding and see a continuity of what had been dimly perceived in the past through the coming of God into human experience.
Patrick did break the mould of the church of that time, being in that sense quite radical and an outsider. I think that, to me, is an authentic pattern that resonates with the New Testament. Think of John the Baptist, think of Jesus. They were not comfortable within the institutional structures of the church. So much of church leadership was quite locked into an earthly security, a worldly security. Whereas what Patrick did was completely counterintuitive, to go to one of the more wild and unwelcoming places. Patrick needed an awful lot of conviction in his heart, but he needed a lot of fire in his blood to be able to do what he did, which was effectively change a nation.
I think one of the things that most interests me about Patrick is that he came into what was a situation of social difficulties and considerable conflict with a completely revolutionary message, which, yes, he had to use local influence to spread, but which totally transcended the circumstances of the local divisions and disputes.
He comes across from his writings as a very humble man, a man who knew his frailty, talking of himself as a great sinner, like all the saints seem to do. And I often think it's like, you come into the sun and you see the dust coming through a beautiful window in a building. You didn't see the dust before the sunlight shone through that light. And I often think of the saints like that, because you and I, they're not great sinners. But as they came close to the great light and are aware of the great God, they become more and more aware of their sin, and yet more and more aware of God's mercy.
Patrick converted thousands to Christianity. He opposed slavers, Irish kings, Druids, and most of all, hostility from his fellow Christians. Here again is Dr. Tim Campbell.
Patrick went AWOL, and we just don't know how that all panned out. He said that he wanted to spend the rest of his life in Ireland because that's what God demanded. Therefore, we got to guess that he never did go back.
Patrick died of old age and was buried in Northern Ireland in the year 461 on March 17th, the day we celebrate St. Patrick's Day. Not long after Patrick's death, the Roman Empire fell and Western Europe drifted into the Middle Ages. But Patrick's work was not in vain.
As Christianity established itself, as it became more vibrant, it became known as the land of saints and scholars. And that led in turn to a whole proliferation of Christian missionaries leaving Ireland and flooding continental Europe. Patrick's story began a chain of events that is quite remarkable in the impact that it had.
He wore out many more pairs of sandals in death than he did in life. And he's still going. People are still reading his confession and still being interested in Christianity because he wrote his message down.
Here again is Chris Seaton.
The work of evangelism in Ireland and the establishing of those monastic houses contributed to quite a strong place of learning, of culture, and definitely, of course, a strong place of a springboard for evangelism, which down the line spawned the re-evangelisation of Britain and mainland Europe.
To this day, Patrick's works offer hope for religious reconciliation in Ireland. Here's Harry Smith from Belfast, director of the Christian Renewal Centre.
Patrick brought a Christianity that was pre-Roman in its sense, you know, therefore he predates everything that we would see in this land as being Catholic or Protestant. And therefore, in a sense, he's an anchor point for us whenever we're talking about reconciliation in this land of something of a commonality.
In closing, let us hear Patrick's final words.
I pray for those who believe in and have reverence for God. Some of them may come upon this writing, which Patrick, a sinner, wrote in Ireland. May none of them ever say that whatever little I did or made known to please God was done through ignorance. Instead, you can judge and believe in all truth that it was a gift of God. This is my confession before I die.
I'm Greg Hengler, and from all of us here at Our American Stories, have a great St. Patrick's Day.
And great job, as always, to Greg Hengler. And again, a special thanks to CBN Films for allowing us to access their movie docudrama, I Am Patrick. And we'd also like to thank the folks at Vision Video for giving us access to footage of their film, Patrick. Check out the full documentary and 1,900 other titles of uplifting, family-friendly videos at visionvideo.com. And my goodness, he was an entrepreneur of sorts, going into a wild, untamed land with a message that caused him to meet enemies everywhere around him, converting thousands to his faith, but in the end, lots of enemies too. And those final words, my goodness, I pray for those who believe in and have reverence for God, may none of them ever say that what I did to please God was not done in ignorance, but to please him. Beautiful words, a beautiful story. Patrick's story, St. Patrick's story, and by the way, that he calls himself a sinner is something we can all of us, believers or not, know that we're all flawed, and what a beautiful story and what grace he found through his God. A great story, a great Irish story, a great human story here on Our American Stories.
Are you looking to step up to a 4K smart TV? One that gives you unparalleled clarity and picture resolution? Then we've got good news for you, because the Vizio 65-inch V-Series 4K smart TV is now just $348. With all your favorite apps built in, you can stream straight out of the box. You can even sing along to all your favorite music and radio on the iHeartRadio app. Looking for a smaller or bigger screen? Vizio offers unbeatable prices on all V-Series 4K smart TVs. Head to Walmart.com today and score the 4K TV you've been waiting for.
Hey, hey, it's Malcolm Gladwell, host of Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Your elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive entirely its own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Most TVs are smart nowadays, but with busy home screens and remotes with too many or too few buttons, smart shouldn't mean complicated. That's why Roku TV is the smart TV made easy. The customizable home screen puts your inputs, streaming favorites like iHeart, and free live TV all in one place.
From simple settings anyone can understand, automatic updates with the latest features, and much more, Roku TV is more than a smart TV. It's a better TV. Learn more today at Roku.com. Happy streaming.